I invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing Gathered Here as soon as the words appear on screen. Here we go. Gathered here in the mystery of the hour, gathered here in one. Motions with me. Today, during our bread communion, we will be singing this song. So I wanted us, but we'll be singing it without accompaniment, so we wanted to practice it now. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day, for all gathered here and those far away, for the times we share. This precious day, oh, we give thanks for this precious day, for all gathered here and those far away, for this time we share with love and care. Oh, we give thanks for this precious.
Perfect. And our final hymn is number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Our hymn of praise.
Please be seated. Go ahead. Bring it in when you're. There are three plates.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Yomi Kinder. Here we walk together through the many transitions we face in life. Here we gather and share our beginnings, our endings, and the journey in between. Here we speak of birth, death, marriage, separation, joy, pain, laughter, and heartbreak. Here we practice being human in all our facets so that we may live well in the world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of our visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. We are glad you are here and hope we see you on future Sundays. We do have a nursery for infants and young children out the door and to the left. At the front of our sanctuary, we have a spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages. You're invited to go to the spirit chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. I have one announcement for today from Mary Johnson. Our kitchen program of wash, dry, put away seems to be working quite well. We've had volunteers each week since September who've cleaned up the kitchen and worker room after coffee hour. We now need volunteers for December through February. There's a sign-up sheet on the desk in the worker room, so please select a Sunday or two to sign up. Next Sunday is our fourth Saturday lunch for the people of our community in need. This monthly lunch is one of the main service projects of our congregation. Contributions are still needed of chili, crackers, brownies, or cookies, as well as people to help, especially with serving and cleanup. Please fill in the sign-up sheet at the desk with what you can contribute. And this one is a new one. Okay, we are planning to decorate the church for the holidays on December 6th. However, we are in need of a Christmas tree. If anyone has one to donate, preferably already with lights, please let us know. Mary's is from you? Yes, talk to Mary Weber.
Mary Weber, wave your hand once more for folks who don't know you.
The lovely lady in the black blazer and pink shirt in the back.
And I have...
Good morning. My name is Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I am the interim minister here at the First Unitarian Church of Alton. It is my pleasure to welcome you all here this morning on our Bread Communion Day. We have just a couple of additional announcements. One, today during our religious education time, the youth will be having a meeting. Where are they meeting, Paul? Downstairs in the youth room, okay. So anybody who's wanting to support the youth group, I believe, in terms of volunteering with them, and the youth themselves are, of course, invited to attend. Up here, we will be having a multi-generational activity. The multi-generational activity is a kind of a getting to know you, as well as a challenge. And so if you like a challenge, it's a community challenge. It's a lot of fun. I've done it a gazillion times, and it is a joy to do. I kind of wish I could participate, but we'll see how it goes. So I can encourage you to stay for religious education after church today to participate in that activity. On December 1st, we will be having another intergenerational activity, which will be decorating the church for the holidays. So in addition to needing the tree, we will be pulling together resources and things. That will be December 6th, and that will be tied together with our first Sunday potluck. And lastly, on December 13th, I believe it is, we'll be having our next race and film series. The movie will be Dear White People. It is a hilarious film and also great social commentary for our time, so we hope that you will join us for that. Yay, and look at all this amazing bread provided for our bread communion, and we do have a bowl of gluten-free crackers for our communion today as well. So I want to offer gratitude to our community for everybody who cooked and baked. And with that, that concludes this morning's announcements. We begin our worship today with a prelude.
In searching for opening words on forgiveness, the word compassion kept appearing in conjunction with forgiveness. In the book, The Art of Happiness, the Dalai Lama defines compassion as a mental attitude based on the wish for others to be free of their suffering and is associated with a sense of commitment, responsibility, and respect toward others. It can include a wish for good things for oneself. Let us enter this service together to learn about forgiveness, to reduce the suffering of others and of ourselves.
As Skylar Lewis lights our chalice this morning, I invite you to join in the hand motions and words for our chalice light. We light this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day. I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing our opening hymn, which is also our hymn of the month, Break Not the Circle.
Yeah.
Each week, we participate in a spiritual practice of giving to this community a portion of the financial resources that we receive. We do this because we are committed to a free and responsible church. We do this so that we may practice as a community that which we so often practice individually. You're invited to give abundantly, be it a quarter or $100, as an act of solidarity with this most amazing community. This morning's offering will be greatly received. May it be joyfully given.
Please join me in reciting our offertory blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings. So I got a story to tell. How many of you like stories? How many of you hate stories? I'm amazed. There's one. Okay, as long as there's one. So I have our Wonder Box, and if some of you will remember, a year ago at Thanksgiving, we had our first Wonder Box, and I have never been able to pull anything as cool as a rabbit out of this box again, and I promise you there's nothing that cool in here today, but I did want to recognize that we've been doing this for a little bit. I would like a volunteer who would like to help me open our Wonder Box. Lyric, why don't you come on up? Any guesses what might be in our Wonder Box?
Bread.
Interestingly enough, no. But a good guess. Any idea what might be in here?
I have a guess.
Huh? Weed? Is that what you said? Weed? No.
I have a guess.
What?
I'm guessing it has something to do with family and...
It does have something to do with family. Any other guesses? Would you like to take a check? What's in there? What's in there? A plate? Is the plate the only thing in there? We'll go ahead and get another one. Show them to everybody. We have a plate and a fork. See, I told you it has something to do with family. At least I hope. Do you eat with your family?
No.
No? Sarah, what's going on in your household? thank you for your help. You can go back. I know. Table or a plate and a fork, not as cool as a rabbit. But perhaps more important to our daily lives. How many of you eat on a plate at some point during the day? How many of you use a fork at some point during the day? Everybody but Sandy.
I have dogs.
You have dogs. So this story is about a family who likes to eat dinner together. And it's a story about a family that has three siblings. How many of you are in a family with three siblings? I think you're lucky. I grew up in a family with only me. Any only children here? How many of you grew up with two, with one sibling and you? Two people in your house. Okay, how many of you had three siblings or more? Four siblings or more? Five? Six? How many?
Nine.
Can anybody beat nine? My grandfather had 11. I think my grandpa probably would win that one, but yes. Okay. Those of you who grew up with siblings, or in my case, really mean cousins, know what it means to have somebody that you really love really annoy you. You ever have that happen? I'd like a couple of volunteers who like to show their emotion to come on up. I wish Casey were in here, but come on up. If you want to show your emotion, you come on up, any age. We must have an adult who's willing to do this. Come on, adults, be brave. Don't make me pull this car over.
Where?
Yep.
Ah. You. See? I know who I can pick on. I'd ask Michelle, but she just walked in. We're looking for emotive people. Now, I want you to tell me what it looks like when a sibling or someone you care about, could be a spouse, could be a friend, annoys you, says something mean to you that you don't like. What do you look like? I see rolling of eyes, lifting of the head. You know, in the Baptist church, they say whenever you're trying to get a point across to the community that's really personal, but you don't want them to take it personally, you look up to God. Look up. All right, what do we have over here? You look tired. Yes, okay. So this story is about a family who was eating dinner, and they had this thing called a gratitude circle. How many of you, when you eat together, have a practice of saying one thing you're grateful for? Anybody do that?
Thanksgiving, but not normal.
How many of you do it at Thanksgiving? That's a pretty common practice, right? Well, they would do this every time they ate dinner together. Now, as you might imagine, with kids and a husband who's just barely going along with it, the mom in this family would get everybody to do it, and they would have a hard time settling down. They'd say silly stuff. I'm grateful for moose. I'm grateful for... What are you grateful for?
I don't know.
Something silly.
Video games.
I'm very silly, so I'll take that. Video games. Light. Yes. Life.
Humankind.
Ants. Fleas. Air's a good one.
Parasites.
Yeah.
To be above ground.
I'm with that. Grateful for worms. Right? So they would get silly sometimes. And one day, they're all eating dinner together. And daughter number one says, okay, well, I'm grateful for mom and dad and brother and sister and big dog. But she's got this smirk on her face like, you know, she's trying to get one over on them because she's trying to get them to buy her something for Christmas. So she's saying just the right thing, even though her heart may not necessarily be in it. But then her sister goes, daughter number two, and daughter number two says, I'm grateful for mom and dad and brother and big dog. Uh-oh, what happened? Somebody got left out. Who got left out? The first sister, right? So the first sister took her a minute, and then she starts to realize she got left out, and she bursts into tears. What does it look like when you burst into tears? And she goes stomping out of the room crying back to, you know, back to her bedroom, right?
Garrett just,
well, show us, man. That's okay. So how many times have you experienced this? Someone who maybe even jokingly has said something that has hurt you. Anybody ever been hurt by someone they love? Yes?
A million more times than anybody in this room probably has.
I somehow disbelieve that, but I hear that it's a lot. Yes. So, how do you think they made up? I mean, they still got to eat dinner, right? They could do that, but that's not what they did. What do you do? You have a food fight. Interesting household solution. You have a food fight. So once daughter number one calmed down, she came back to the table, and daughter number two did what?
Apologized.
Why apologize? Lyric?
To be kind,
exactly. And that's what we do as Unitarian Universalists, right? We try to be kind. Is it easy to apologize?
No.
Yes.
Sometimes. It gets harder, I think, the older you get. For sure.
I don't know about that.
It does, because the things that you make mistakes for get bigger. Right? Because I know not to call my cousin bad names, but I may inadvertently say something racist. Or I might say something that doesn't understand the fullness of the other person next to me. Or I might do something, like say, everybody stand, and forget that not everybody in the room can stand. We all do things that hurt one another at some point in our lives, and it doesn't stop when you become an adult, I promise you. It gets harder. So they came back to the table, and daughter number two asked for an apology, and daughter number one forgave her, something that those two kids would do over and over and over and over again. For those of you who have siblings, I'm sure you've apologized a bunch, right? I had to my cousins, for sure. It's just become something, but you learn to practice forgiveness in that. But here's the thing that I take home from the mom. She said, it was important to remember that having an attitude of gratitude, of being open to gratefulness, allowed them to be more forgiving. So now I want our emoticons here, who are now in the dictionary apparently, to give us what they look like when they've been forgiven for something. I see a smile, a deep breath, some reverence, smile. And what do you look like when you offer or when you ask for forgiveness? Does that look right? Ever the comedian here. We got a comic in our midst, yes?
Oh.
Yeah. And what does it mean, what does it look like to be grateful? Final emoticon. To be grateful. Please thank our emoticons. So, it's Thanksgiving for some. It is Thanksgiving for others. This coming holiday is mixed if there ever was one. It is both a sign of the importance of gratitude and family, and a sign that racism still very strongly lives in our society. And so the question for me, in a month when we're talking about forgiveness, is how do we have forgiveness between entire communities of people? It's one thing to talk about individuals at a table, right? About forgiveness between one person to another person. But when an entire community of people has done something wrong to another entire community of people, how do we engage in forgiveness? It's not an easy task, right? Here's that song. We're gonna sit at the welcome table. Anybody know the history of that song?
No.
It's an African-American spiritual, right? Why would they be singing, particularly slaves, be singing about sitting at the welcome table? So they had hope that
yes.
They could be welcome at the welcome table, but recognized they weren't. And are they welcome at the table now?
Yes.
No, yes. Oh,
yes.
Mixed reviews, huh?
Yes.
Isn't that a messy question? It's complicated. That's exactly it. It's complicated. The answer is not fully yes. But it also isn't fully no either, right? We live in a society where we have either or thinking. We either have made it or we haven't. And if we haven't made it, there's something wrong with us. But our world is a both-and world, where we both have made progress, where we have worked towards healing, and where we're still messing it up all the time. And not all of us are part of communities One of the ways I like to look at this is thinking about feminism and women. Ladies, are you welcome at the welcome table?
No.
No, sometimes it's complicated, right. Men, are ladies welcome at the welcome table?
Yes.
Well, now that's interesting. You see, there were a lot more yeses on this side of it. How do we know if women are welcome at the welcome table? Yes, they're treated equally. Isabella? Don't say bad things and don't treat them differently. Women, are you treated differently?
Yes.
Do people say bad things about you because you're a woman?
Yes.
This is one of the areas where we've done the most work in society on, and we haven't arrived. So how can we say we've arrived when it comes to racism or classism or homophobia or transphobia or any other way that we say that someone is different and other? And part of that work is offering and receiving forgiveness as communities and also one-on-one, right? We have a long way to go. And I don't have an answer for you on how we offer forgiveness as community, because I don't think there's one right way. But I do think of the story of Elie Wiesel going from Israel to Germany and saying to Parliament that they needed to personally come to Israel and ask for forgiveness for the Holocaust. And they did it. The German Chancellor came to Israel and asked for forgiveness. And it didn't fix everything, but it created more room at the welcome table. There's more that we can do, but we first have to admit it's still messed up, whether it was our ancestors who did it or us today. We are the inheritors of the love of thousands and everything that they did, both good and for ill. So as you go into Thanksgiving eating your turkey or your tofurkey or, you know, I don't know what you all eat. I don't celebrate Thanksgiving. What do you eat for Thanksgiving? Everything. I heard that. Phil? Mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing. How many of you drink alcohol, right? I mean, there's some of you who do that. Okay. So as you are eating your food this week, I invite you into space of saying yes, thank you, being grateful, and knowing that that attitude of gratitude helps you in that attitude of forgiveness. For when we're open to what we're grateful for, we're open to the possibility of everyone being at the welcome table. Just as those two daughters were able to be grateful, to return to the meal, to say, I'm sorry. May it be so.
If you could all please join me in the unison reading. This is by Leslie Takahashi. We return again and again to the season of forgiveness, and each time we come bearing gifts, a grudge to relinquish, a hatred to extinguish, a hope that has bloated and distorted, a glancing word that has wounded. Each time we walk the road towards forgiveness, we mutter that we have been here before. When will we remember that forgiveness is not so much an act as an attitude, not so much a duty as a love we give ourselves as part of the ever unfolding new beginning?
Each week we take some time to bear witness to the joys and the sorrows, the celebrations and the struggles within our community. We take stones from a bowl, either as we enter or as we come up, and we put our energy, if we're in that kind of mindset, or our prayer, or our thoughtfulness, letting that stone be a concrete this week, as in many weeks, we've known violence. And this month, as in many months, we have known violence. I place a stone in the bowl for Beirut and for Paris and for all who have experienced bombings and attacks as a result of war and terrorism. I place a stone in the bowl for Reverend Fulgence, and I'm not going to say it right, but I'll try, Nagi Jimana, who is a Unitarian Universalist minister who founded a congregation in Burundi, who this week, 4 days ago, was taken into custody by the police and tortured, and whose congregation has faced violence from having their building shot, having money stolen, having sacred objects taken, and who are continually being questioned quite violently by the police as well. We hold our fellow Unitarian Universalists in our hearts, in our prayers. We place a stone in the bowl for those joys and sorrows lying in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts, and a stone in the bowl for all those who cannot be with us today. I invite you now into a time of meditation, prayer, or contemplation, as is your own personal practice. I invite you to notice how the pew feels underneath your butt and your legs, how the air feels on your skin, how your clothes feel. Notice the smells and the sounds around you. And as we enter into this time of silence, I remind you that silence within yourself involves silencing oneself and letting the sounds around you become a part of your silence. And I invite you to take a slow, deep breath in and out. And so you take a deep breath, and I invite you to do so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. Now we're going to do it with a sound. It'll go like this. Ooh. And as you make the sound, notice how you feel it go from your head into your chest. Ready? In and out. Ooh. And one more time. In and out. I invite you to be in your body, present to it, this home granted to you from life to death, the only home we ever know. I invite you to imagine a person you know needs your blessing, someone who is in a time of illness, or grief, or pain, or fear, or even anger. Imagine them sitting before you. And in your mind, offer them a blessing for healing. As you complete your blessing, thank them for their presence and let them fade into the mist. And now I invite you to imagine a person to whom you are deeply grateful for their presence, for their love, for their commitment. And as you imagine them sitting before them, offer them a blessing of gratitude in your mind. And as you finish your blessing of gratitude, thank them for their presence and let them disappear into the mist. I invite you to take another deep breath in and out. And now with a noise in. Ooh. the stillness of this moment, may we be grateful for all those who have given us life. May we offer a blessing of healing and wholeness for those who need our presence. May we know that we are an intricate string in this web of life, and that we are enough. Blessed be. May it be so.
Comfort me.
Can tell me who John Calvin is? Mary, what?
The John Calvin,
yes. Who's the John Calvin? He founded the Calvinists. He's what? He's a Presbyterian. What's he most noted for amongst Unitarians?
Burning
Michael Servetus at the stake. Made him a martyr. Burned all of his scientific research, which included the first mapping of the nervous system that had ever been recorded. Did everything that he could to destroy his life. So as you might imagine, Unitarian Universalists and Presbyterians had a bit of a difficult history for a while. And yet we had to exist at the welcome table together, right? So back in March, I was at a minister's gathering. And Emerson was hosting it. As some of you know, Emerson sold their church building. So we needed another place to meet. So Krista Taves, who's the minister there at the time, set up with the local Presbyterian minister that we'd meet at their church. And when I got there, I was the first one there. And I said, hey, is there Wi-Fi? He said, yeah. Then what's the password? John Calvin, exactly. And then he paused. He goes, huh, we should probably change that, huh? And here we were having a jovial conversation, a group of Unitarian ministers being hosted by a Presbyterian. Two denominations who had spent centuries hating each other in many ways. Very difficult relationships, persecuting each other in Europe and in England, and even for a good time here in the United States, until they became the outsiders. And we knew the territory. And until they started to realize maybe there were a few things the Unitarians were right about. And as we continued in a process of learning to forgive. Share these words of the Dalai Lama. But we are now so interdependent that the concept of war has become outdated. One-sided victory is no longer relevant. We must strive for reconciliation and always remember the interests of others. We cannot destroy our neighbors or ignore their interests. This would ultimately lead to our own suffering. And Karen Armstrong points out in her book, The 12 Steps to Compassion, that we live in a day and age where we are deeply interconnected, where that interdependent web that we talk about is literally lived in the internet, in commerce, in politics, in every aspect of our lives. We can't have an action in Afghanistan without assuming that there's going to be some action somewhere else in the world. Literally, that butterfly that we step on happens not thousands of years later, but even within days and weeks. It is much easier to see our interconnectedness, which means we can't fight wars the way we used to. They talk about the changing state of war, and part of the issue is we all know that we're all human. Even the folks in ISIS, and don't get me wrong, I have some strong emotions about that, but they're still people, right? They're still in the world. It's important to remember that they're people and not monsters. It's easier to demonize the monster of the other. And we do have a crisis on our hands when so many of our youth and young adults feel more comfortable going to them than staying with us. We are interconnected. So as we think today about forgiveness, and particularly about communal forgiveness, we have to understand our own roles in that forgiveness. We have to be willing to offer that forgiveness. And that may be the hardest thing. And we have to forgive ourselves for being inherently prejudiced as human beings. Every single person here has someone they're prejudiced against. I struggle with the wealthiest of the wealthy. Doing better with that, but I'm still working on it. Really hardcore conservative fundamentalists and hardcore conservative Republicans. Conservatives. I'm working on it. It's a day-to-day thing. I start by remembering that my family is human, which includes really, really wealthy people and fundamentalists and Republicans. But think about that community. It starts with each one of us. We cannot control the entire system. But ladies, you're not fully welcome at the welcome table, but are you more welcome than you were 20 years ago? Yeah, maybe. I'm not fully welcome at the welcome table as a transgender person, and yet you all are letting me be the minister here. Won't you understand how groundbreaking that is? It's no small thing. It starts with little acts of congregations, of individuals, of communities saying yes to one another and to life, to looking past our assumptions and the false things that we hear in the media, saying yes to each other, inviting more people to that welcome table. And so today, in honor of Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving, and of that ability to welcome all to the welcome table, we will have our annual bread communion, lovingly baked by many here. If you have some items that you either bought or made on the table, would you raise your hands? Look around the room. These are the folks who gave to you. Those of you who did that should have kept your hands up because I think you like them, so that's okay. And we offer our gratitude to them for baking. When you come forward, I invite you to take a plate, and you're going to offer it to the person next to you. And you will say this, welcome to the table. Can you say that? Welcome to the table. And then they will take the plate and offer it to you, and they will say, and Yomi is going to help me model this. So we'll get up here, and there will be two lines, but we're going to turn this way so you can see us. Welcome to the table. Take a piece of bread first. Take a bite of it. Otherwise, it's not communion. Then you take the plate, and you say, welcome to the table. I want to roll. Thank you. Okay? Seem easy enough?
Yeah.
We will be singing, oh, we give thanks, that song, when it's time. I'm going to invite you to come up this aisle and return to your seats down this aisle, just for a smoothness of movement, and I will help you figure out what you need to be doing. We do have a bowl of gluten-free, so if you need gluten-free, just ask. Here, you take the plate. And whoever comes up next, is who you're offered. Just wait. He's coming. This reminds me of my grandmother. Welcome to the table. Don't forget to say. You want bread? Some good cookies. Precious day, we're all gathered here. Paul, let me go around this way. This far away, this love we share with love and care. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. We're all gathered here, no far away. Give her the plate. There you go. You can go back to your seat. Thank you. Did you think? Take one. And say, welcome to the table. And then you take the plate. And you're going to hand it to the person behind you. Why don't you stand here? Have you gotten one yet? Go ahead. There we go. And you're going to offer it to the person behind you. Turn around and offer it to the person behind you. Can I get a couple of you to go around behind Jennifer? Please. Thank you. Debbie, this is what we're going to do. You can have a line with that way. For this precious day, precious day, for all gathered here and those far away, for this time we share with love and care. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. For all gathered here and those far away, for this love we share with love and care. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. For all gathered here and those far away, for this love we share with love and care. Oh, we give thanks to this precious day. Is there anyone who has not received? Welcome to the table. We got it? Everyone's got one? How's our bread? Yes. Let's offer gratitude to the folks who made it. I invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow. We're going to sing about that welcome table. How many of you know this hymn? There should be a few of you. Yes, please sing with gusto if you know it. Once you get it, please join in. We will probably sing it more than there are slides, so once it gets to the last slide, just keep singing. We're gonna sit at the welcome table. We're gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah! We're gonna sit at the welcome table. Gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Meant to be sung with gusto and energy and cheering. This is exactly how it's supposed to be. I invite you to face across the chandelier towards your neighbors. Look around, particularly for people you may not know or don't know well. Give them a smile. This is our welcome table. These are our family members and our friends eating together. These are the people who need our forgiveness, and from whom we need forgiveness. These are people for whom we are eternally and deeply grateful. Say together, welcome to the table. Welcome to the table. Say yes to life in this day and all the days to come. And as you eat your Thanksgiving meal and are with friends or family or eating it here at the church or wherever you may be in the world, remember that there are still more people who always need to be at that table, and that we are enough to make it so. Maybe not in our generation, but in the generations to come. May it be. Blessed be. Go in peace. Our worship is ended. Let our service begin.